And good morning once again, everyone. I'm Chad Holmes. The time is 9:06, currently overcast skies, 59 degrees in Wausau. It's hour number two of the Chad Holmes Show here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXEO and on the Civic Media app. If you're, you know, very optimistic because it's such a warm start this morning, well, enjoy it because it's not going to stay this way. In fact, we're going to be heading downhill temperature-wise throughout the course of the morning, afternoon, and then into the evening. And then some very chilly weather will be moving into central Wisconsin as we get to the end of October. And then, of course, the start of November already next week. But to find out about the weekend forecast, if you're heading off to a high school game tonight or a Packer game at Lambeau on Sunday or any outdoor activities, what can you expect? Well, the person with all the answers from Weatherology is our meteorologist, Jennifer Vucicki. And Jennifer, first of all, good morning.
Good morning.
I have to say, coming into work this morning, it was very pleasant. In fact, the temperature was in the 60s when I got into my car this morning to drive here to work, and it's been going down slowly but surely already. And it's going to go down pretty significantly as we go through today and into the weekend, isn't it?
It is, yeah. I mean, we're looking at that cold front currently pushing through. So like you said, holding steady early, then slowly falling throughout the day as we see that system come in. Mostly cloudy skies, and it looks like maybe a few spotty areas of showers and thunderstorms, probably for about the next hour, but a lot of that actually looks like it's pushed out of the area. Maybe a few little pop-up showers coming in. Otherwise, tonight, mostly cloudy, low near 29. A bit on the windy side both today and tonight as well. Pretty significant drop in temperatures for the weekend. Saturday, we'll see partial sunshine developing. A slight chance for snow in the afternoon. We'll see a high getting up around about 39. 37 degrees here for your day on Sunday with mostly cloudy skies. Finally, seeing some sunshine here on Monday with a high around about 34. Then by Tuesday, partial sunshine. High gets up around about 34 degrees.
34, just barely over freezing. And it does look like, especially as we get towards Halloween on Tuesday, anybody that is going out trick-or-treating, or even if their trick-or-treat hours are on the weekends, I think thicker and layered costumes would be the best way to go.
That'll probably be the best plan, yes, absolutely.
Well, Jennifer, again, thanks for the information. Enjoy your weekend, and we'll catch you again on Monday.
Thanks, you too.
That is our meteorologist, Jennifer Vucicki from Weatherology, joining us each and every weekday at 9:06 here on the program. And right now, again, as I look outside, fortunately not seeing any cars go the wrong way down a one-way street, but overcast skies, temperature stands at 59 degrees. The winds are out of the west at 9, but they are gusting up just a little bit, gusting up to 21 miles per hour. Hey, I hear yawning. You can't be yawning right into the microphone, Ian. Come on. I can hear it in my headphones as I'm doing this weather. Am I boring you over there or what?
No, it's just...
No. I'm not used
to getting up this early.
Yeah, I understand.
It takes some time, but I will not... I wish your next time I do it, I won't have the mic on.
All right, there. That's what we like to hear. But let's continue the stats here weather-wise. Again, winds are out of the west at 9 miles per hour, gusting as high as 21 miles per hour. The dew point is 55, relative humidity of 87%, the barometer at 29.82 inches, and a visibility of 10 miles. Coming up in just a little bit, about 10 minutes or so, we'll be talking Wisconsin sports with Newman Catholic High School head football coach Paul Micklegg. He comes in and talks about the Packers, the Badgers, the Brewers, the Bucks, and lots to talk about. Actually, as I said earlier, this is the time of year where basically all the professional sports overlap. You got Major League Baseball playoffs and the World Series. Of course, the World Series starting tonight between the Rangers And the Arizona Diamondbacks, Texas Rangers in Arizona. Nobody would have thought that at the start of the season. You have the start of the NBA season. Of course, we talked about the Bucks with a one-point win behind Damian Lillard's 39 points over Philadelphia. Yeah, the NHL that got underway last week. And then, of course, you have the NFL right in the midst of their season with the Packers getting set to take on the Minnesota Vikings on Sunday. So, again, lots to talk about with Paul Micklick coming up at 9:20. And, again, as I mentioned, we got Ian Welsh, our producer, here this morning. And as you said, lots going on this weekend. I got to tell you, for myself, I'm going to kind of lay back a little bit more. I've been running around a lot on the weekends, and I got a couple of weeks here before the start of high school basketball and hockey. So I'm going to chill a little bit on this chilly weekend. But you're going to be off running around a lot this weekend, aren't you?
Yep, I have a Halloween party on Saturday. I'm doing an escape room with friends on Sunday. And then on Tuesday, Halloween of this year, I'm going to see the Five Nights at Freddy's movie with friends. So I got keeping busy at the end of this month.
I am familiar with the escape rooms. I have not ever done an escape room. Have you done these previous in the past?
Well, yeah, so I've gotten a small group of my best friends together, and we've tackled many different escape rooms around the Wisconsin area.
Huh.
I think our last account, we've done probably close to 15 of them.
Yeah, I live near one over in Weston. Every day I drive to work, I go past this escape room, and I've never done it, but it sounds like it's a lot of fun, so I'm sure you're going to have a good time this weekend, among the many things that you'll be enjoying this weekend. So, again, hopefully you'll have a wonderful weekend, and, again, thanks for being here this morning.
Even if the weather is not the best, at least we'll be inside for most of it.
That is very true, and that's one of the things as well. As I mentioned earlier, there's some high school football playoff action going on. Unfortunately for us, our three teams that we cover on a play-by-play basis, Wausau West, Newman Catholic, and Marathon, all came up short last Friday, but there are still some games around Central Wisconsin. If you're heading out to, say, Edgar for their big game against Regis tonight, make sure that you bundle up. Again, it's going to be chilly by the time kickoff occurs at 42. And again, if you're somebody here from Central Wisconsin that has season tickets to the Green Bay Packers, Sunday, again, high temperature, only 37 degrees. So make sure that you bundle up as well if you're going to see the Packers and the Minnesota Vikings. Also, before we get to Paul Micklick, I got to say it's time for another Chris Conley update, because doggone it, I enjoy talking about Chris Conley from time to time here on this program. Mr. Conley, I can almost see their building from where we are now downtown. WSAU Radio, of course, is Midwest Communications. Mr. Conley, one of the co-hosts of their morning show, along with Tea Party founder, Central Wisconsin, Meg Ellefson. And Conley enjoys putting out commentaries. They're called Conley Commentaries if you go to their website. And I can't help myself. I got to see what Chris Conley, recently arrested, recently released, and then put right back on the air by Midwest Communications, is talking about and telling us how to live, because he enjoys doing that. He likes talking about religion and talking about government and talking about how everybody except him that really has the wrong answers, especially those evil liberals. And one that actually got my attention that sort of delves away from his normal pontification on religion, but you can read about his religious thoughts today because it's Fridays on Faith with Mr. Conley, but yesterday he had a commentary. Conley commentary, AI radio, I'm not worried about it. I have to admit, I'm a little different than Mr. Conley when it comes to artificial intelligence. I worry about it. I worry about it significantly, not just for myself, but for the country as a whole. I think that what we're seeing with AI is not always positive. I'm sure there are positive aspects to it, but there are many, many instances of AI right now that is causing me concern, and it's causing me concern about taking away opportunities for human beings, number one. But Conley talks about how basically there's no way that AI could replace him. He talks about the weather and news and talk that we provide here comes down to trust. He talks about their forecasters, talking about their finest forecasters in Central Wisconsin. We enjoy our folks here, Brittany Merlot, and also our weatherology folks, so we'll say that we do it very well as well. He says, they're always going to attract a larger audience than A.I. Ashley or A.I. Allen, and basically says the same thing about himself. He says, I think about how I put together a newscast. I do some of the writing, all of the story selection, and all of the on-air presenting. A computer can't do what I do, even if artificial intelligence studied only me. I get to the chills thinking about an artificial intelligence Chris Conley. A real-life Chris Conley is more than enough. He says, they wouldn't slot the news stories the way I do. A computer might mimic my voice. Another scary thought. But it isn't me. Anyone with a discerning ear would not know the difference. Would know the difference. Communication. That's the business we're in. Will always be from one person, me, to other people, you. Don't settle for anything less. It really isn't the same. I will say that is true. That it is not the same. When you hear Chris Conley tell you the stories that he personally selects and talks about them in the way that he personally delivers them, there certainly is nothing that is similar, and certainly nothing that even AI could put out there. I'm pretty sure he could do it. But the point being is just sort of, slap it aside. Because basically what he's saying, that the folks in Hollywood, the actors who are fighting really hard for protections, where their being is not used by AI, by the studios. That basically, that if you're an actor, they could steal part of what makes you you, put it into AI, and then use it without compensating you. Conley basically saying, whatever. You know, that's not the case. We have to be vigilant when it comes to AI. And again, it's such a simplistic thought. Nobody can replace me. I'm Chris Conley. Come on. Come on. Again, it's so easy to pontificate. I want people to think a little bit. And frankly, Conley and other right-wing radio hosts are that way. They just like to pontificate in the simplest ways possible instead of thinking a little bit. I'll go back to the story I talked about again in the last hour, talking about the idea that the Wausau City Council does not give themselves a raise. The easy thing is to say, of course, that's the right thing to do. Of course, don't give the raise. But again, you got to stop going to the lowest common denominator and start to explain why I think that a raise is an important thing. It may not be the most popular thing, but at least I would say it's intellectually honest. We're going to take a time out, come back with more. The time is 9:18. I'm Chad Holmes, Chad Holmes Show, Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. And welcome back. Chad Holmes with you on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bullfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. And on the Civic Media app. The time is 9:20 on a Friday morning. Again, Friday morning, getting ready for the weekend and enjoying right now mild temperatures that will end by the time we get to the end of Friday. But a busy weekend for sports fans. Of course, got the Badgers, got the Packers, got the Bucks starting yesterday and starting their season, and even some baseball news this week. Lots to talk about, so we're going to bring in Paul Micklig, talk about Wisconsin sports, and good to see you.
Good to see you, Chad. I was, on the way over, I was listening to you, and you said, high school football tonight, and the Packers on Sunday, and it was good to see that you got the Badgers in. It was a pretty big. I get to go to that game, and so
you're going to Camp Randall.
Camp Randall tomorrow night.
Well, doggone it! That's a I like to use the term. That's a big one.
Well.
It is
a big one.
If the Badgers want to go to a big bowl, it's a big game. If they want to go to that game over in Detroit, then it's probably not such a big game.
and obviously a win would propel them probably into a good position for the Big Ten championship.
Bundle game. Up though. Bundle up. Make sure you're.
I know. I was.
You're gonna wear shorts like you go to a.
Yeah. No, your coach I don't think so. It'll be. I literally texted after you were talking about the weather. I said, we got to make sure that layers. We get a lot of layers. Layers. Yep, that's exactly what I said.
Well, very good. We'll talk football coming up, but actually, I want to quickly because, baseball is done for the Brewers, the World Series, obviously, but Diamondbacks and the Rangers, we'll see what happens. But this week, I wanted to bring up because you have said to me, Craig Counsell is not managing anywhere but Milwaukee, correct?
No.
Oh, geez. Now
I move. Said... gut's telling me that he's done. He's going to take a year off.
Okay. I'm pretty sure you said that if he was going to manage, it would
he
be
in
Milwaukee.
He's not managing New York. I'll tell you that right now.
Okay. I wanted to get the
I will point. Tell you that right now. He is not going to New York.
And the thing is, it's not a for sure thing. Obviously, he's going to interview with the Mets and also maybe talk to others. But the story that I read, and I think this is fantastic, to be honest with you, because he knows he's in a position to lift manager salaries, to give some more power to managers these days that have been taken away by the front office people, and they make, such a small amount compared to players. So players can say, well, why should I listen to this guy? I make 10 times, 12 times, 15 times more than he makes. But and part of the story that people may not know is back when he was a player, he was a major part of the Players Association. So this has been something that is concerning to him. He's not going to say to Mark Antanasio, well, whatever you want to pay me, I'm just thrilled to be here. He's going to say, Mark Antanasio, if you want me, you're going to have to pay fair market value. And I think that's great, to be honest with you.
You would, wouldn't you?
I would. It doesn't surprise
you. Because you're going to get mad at me when I say this, and I know you're going to get mad at me.
Well, then let's hear it.
I feel sorry for Craig and his $3.5 million he got last year. Well, how did he feed his family? How did he feed his family?
That's not the point. How many jobs of Major League Baseball managers are there? How many?
I will say, if somebody else said that, would you agree with them? Because no. I know there's somebody that said that about feeding their family and on a paycheck and you probably ridiculed him.
I don't know
on that. So
no.
I mean, don't. But I understand what you're saying, and what's going to happen is,
and also the reason that I always will stand with those that are the employees is why should. I mean, if this money doesn't go to the managers, to the players, where's it going to go? Who's going to get it?
And I'm not saying that they don't deserve
because,
and he's
again,
not setting
there's
it.
A pie here. Yep. And again, I understand that I'm never going to make $3.5 million yep. in my career. I'm never going to make that in my whole lifetime. But that's not the point. I don't have one of those jobs.
You're really just trying to depress me this morning, too, because I'm not going to make it either. But I understand what you're saying. He's going to do it. He's going to do it that way. I'm going to tell you something. He's going to New York, and they're going to give him $7-8 million. It's going to be
Mark,
outrageous. And Mark, and Mark,
it's
here
not going to be outrageous. It's going to be fair. Because I love the fact that all these free market guys who vote Republican up and down the line, who talk about taxes being too high, wanting government all their way, they're the first ones with a handout to the government wanting money for American Family Field or whatever it may be. They love free market unless it costs them money. This is free market yep. to the T.
Yeah. and I understand what you're saying. I love this.
It makes me feel so good on a Friday morning.
It does. I know. I love the
fact that Mark Antanasio and whatever owner is going to have to pay more money for the talent that actually provides the service that makes them a lot of money.
Correct.
Hallelujah. Amen. Happy Friday. Okay. Now I will allow you to talk and toe the man's line. You want to stand with the man. That's what you want to do here.
No, no. When we have situations in this world that come up and you think about the people that it's kind of crazy to think that somebody is getting $7-8 million to manage a baseball game.
Well,
that's just my personal take on it. And I'm a coach, and I love everything about athletics. I And that's what's going to happen. I'm not saying it's not going to happen. What's going to happen is he's going to New York to get a higher bid, which means he must be interested in coaching again.
Right.
Which means that the Brewers are going to have to make a decision at the end of the day. That what you said is exactly what's going to happen, and you're right with it. And yeah. I don't know if he's going to make that, if he's going to say yes to Mark's going to say yes to that money or not. But I'll tell you this for now, if he says no to it, it's going to look really, really bad for the Brewers.
Because, I mean, there have been points where, again, you know, the Brewers, record-wise, I mean, man, you know, there's been a lot of success. But at the same time, and I know that for some people, it's about winning the World Series. It's about, you know, taking that final step. For me, personally, it's not. I like the fact that I would prefer to have sustained success, in, whether it's the Packers or the Brewers. But there are others who say, well, look at the Washington Nationals. They won the World Series 5 years ago. They've been terrible since then. But people still probably say, hey, at least we won the World Series. We're willing to suck for the next 5, 6, 7 years, but we won the World Series. I mean, that's a. I don't know whether how you look at it. Would you rather say the Packers win the Super Bowl and then suck for 4 years, or would you rather have them have a chance to win where you don't know they're going to win? They may win it. They may not win it. I mean, there's different fans who have different perspectives on it. And I think Antanasio and the Brewers and the Packers, I think especially, are of the notion, hey, if we keep getting chances, we're ultimately going to win it. And we're not going to splurge maybe for that shiny object that may cost a lot of money and maybe some draft picks as well.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoy having them always be competitive. It doesn't matter what team it is.
I'm a little surprised. I thought maybe you'd be one of those guys who says, gotta win it all.
No, I mean, because I'll be honest with you. I said something. Is baseball still going on? I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, this is how this is our society works. So we're on to the next thing. We got downtime, man. Last night we got downtime. You know, I mean, this is the Packers. You know, this is the society we live in. So, do you know that the Brewers had a chance this year or not?
You mean to upgrade?
No. To win it.
To win it. Yes, they had a chance.
I agree.
We're going to leave it there for a few moments, and then we're going to talk some football and basketball. We got to talk about the last night. As you said, Dame came through. Dame came through big time. So we'll talk more with Paul Mickley coming up as we continue here on Friday morning. Full Falls Radio, 98.9 at 12:30. And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. With Paul Mickley, I'm Chad Holmes. Hey, last night the Bucks did start off, and going into that game, that was really weird, because a lot of times I feel like they're going to win. I actually thought, first game, new coach, new star Dame, and Philly always seems to cause them trouble. I mean, it just, for whatever reason, Philly causes trouble. I thought, well, it's going to be probably a slow thing. They come out and they take a big lead, and it's like, oh, this is really easy. And then all of a sudden, Philly starts hitting shot after shot from three-point range. I mean, their three-point shooting was unbelievable. But then the big change coming down the stretch, it would always be Giannis on ISOs. You know, he would get the ball, he'd have an ISO, he'd get to the basket, he'd either score or be fouled, and then you have to hold your breath for the free throws. Last night, in the last 4 minutes, Damian Lillard took it on his shoulders.
Dame time.
I know. He made the threes. He made all the free throws, and the Bucks win by one. I mean, it was classic NBA where it goes up and down, up and down, up and down, and in the end, a 1 point up. A lot there last night, wasn't there?
Yeah. I mean, and you're right. The Philly, I think they've beat the Bucks last time they played at home last year. Obviously,
and it was a similar game. In fact, I remember that game for some reason. I remember that game where the Bucks were ahead, but at the end, the Bucks didn't have the response, because in the fourth quarter, Philly had a good run there to take, I think, a 6-point lead or something like that, and before the Bucks finally made the 16-2 run or whatever.
I think it was
to take the 9-point lead. But it was a similar game. But last year, the Bucks got stagnant offensively, and I think we saw what they now have. They have options offensively. And I think you can, again, it's a long way off, but they'll have more options when we get to the playoffs, when things get tougher as well.
Yeah, I mean, I was. We listened to the first quarter or so on the radio. People still listen to the game on radio,
which is what I love to hear.
And then we listened to it at the last probably the end of the third and the whole fourth quarter, which is interesting to listen to something because I think you get to have a different little feel for it, to be honest with you. But I don't know if Chris Middleton was on the floor in the fourth quarter or not. I don't know. I just noticed that the ball was always in Lillard's hand or Giannis's hand, and they basically took over that fourth quarter. I know that they had a 19-point lead in the second quarter, like you said. They came out and they took a 4-point lead to start that probably with about 8.5 left in the fourth quarter. And then with 3:24 left, the Bucks had a 9-point lead, and you thought it was over.
I know, and it was gone almost immediately.
Almost immediately. 7 points straight and right. Cut it down to 2, and then he hits the clutch 3, the step-back 3, to give him that 5-point lead and ice away them with the free throws. When you can have a guy that can ice the game away, those are huge. I think he was 17 for 17.
I mean, incredible.
Incredible on that. I mean, that they have – it's a different team. I didn't hear some names that you think that you're going to hear usually. That's just my – I mean, like I said, I didn't hear Chris Middleton. Was he on the floor in the fourth quarter?
That's a good point. I know that they're limiting his minutes, but I can't – it's probably the worst thing you could say is I can't remember. Because, again, I'm assuming he must have been, but nothing sticks in my mind at this point.
Because they had the rookie from last year – out there, I think he did some good things last night too.
Yeah,
he's going to be
Marshawn Beauchamp, right?
Yep, and Beasley was out there sometimes, so they had some other guys that were there. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't hear, and Lopez was out there. I didn't hear I didn't hear really Portis's name in that fourth quarter.
He was on the bench.
Okay, I mean, so it's interesting to see. I think they have other. We know that those guys are weapons, so that's the good thing. I think they have a lot of guys.
Absolutely, but again, it was exciting. I'll say that much in terms of what the Bucks did. But I'm waving to my producer here.
Yeah.
But so the Bucks 1-0 again. First game, I was surprised that it looked that smooth.
What's just interesting too is does the NBA purposely do this? I mean, they must. Well, I don't know if they did this, but the schedule. But just think about this: they had Nurse over there first time,
yeah,
against his predecessor. You know what I'm saying? Like the whole thing is just kind of how they put so. Maybe it's luck. I don't know how. I mean, to have that be the first game, and then have Lillard have a fourth career high for a person starting with their team. I mean, ever. I mean, it's just crazy how things work. Sometimes you think that things are make believe.
Yeah. Oh, make believe.
Well, you know, they're not make believe, but you know what I'm saying. They set up.
Oh, but for the national TV games, it's not unexpected. I mean, they have this new rule that they're actually investigating James Harden because the stars are supposed to play in the national TV games, which is just craziness to me. I mean, this idea that they're gonna investigate whether or not he could have played or could not have played and then find the team or something like that.
Do you
think
they're a better team without Harden?
Oh,
because they shot 46%
from
3-point range.
It was amazing how some of those guys that stepped up. I mean, and the thing is, a lot of people will sometimes rail on the NBA game, it's just a playground ball and stuff like that. It is amazing the range that these guys have compared to when I was growing up. I mean, 3-point field goals were not much of a part of the game. I know it's part of the analytics of the game, but the way these guys can shoot, the 7-footers, I mean, Embiid, a 7-footer out there, you can't leave him alone. And then all these other guys, I mean, their fourth and fifth options were 4-for-4 from 3-point range at one point in the fourth quarter. I forget who it was.
Yep,
But I mean, the skill that these guys have is I think mind-blowing that if you were actually on the court with these guys, it would probably be like facing a Nolan Ryan fastball in the day.
Which is, we don't want to go back to the Bucks, how they hit the threes. What's our it's going to be how we hit the threes and how we defend the threes.
Well, and also I was, in the first half, Philly got off to a bit of that slow start.
They didn't hit the threes.
And I'm thinking, boy, this Adrian Griffin's defense really is really good. But it comes down to, are you hitting the threes or you're not hitting the threes? I mean, those defensive numbers are there are things you can do, but a lot of it has to do with whether or not a certain guy or certain team is hot.
And again, the one thing you can't see on the radio is, were those threes challenged?
Right, right.
Were they challenged all the time? You know, I can
there were a lot
a
of there were a lot of open threes, and it, again, I would have to go back and look at it closer because you know I'm just sitting back with my feet up and not.
And you're enjoying life.
Exactly right. I'm going to enjoy a rare Thursday night off because in a few weeks I won't have any Thursday nights off anymore.
So, or Fridays.
Or Fridays. But or hey, let's move on because this time is going to fly right on by. You said it. You're going to be at Camp Randall tomorrow night. Badgers in some way saved their season in the fourth quarter last week, didn't they?
I said they were going to be 0-2 last week. You said 1-1. I know you're right. I'm going to tell you this right now.
I was actually completely wrong.
But at least you're 1-1. You're 1-1. And the thing is, they saved their season.
Yes, they did.
And they saved a lot of people starting to question it. Because I'll tell you this right now, I think they would have been tough to make a bowl game. I know we talked about it last week because it would have not been a simple slam dunk if they lose that game. Feel pretty good.
Isn't it amazing? You say feel pretty good generally. It's amazing what everything you hear from Madison this week, you know, the interviews with the coach and the players and everybody else, it sounds so much different going into this game against Ohio State than if it would have been with back-to-back losses. Because then there would have been a pressure. Oh, man, we're likely going to have three losses in a row. And it just feels like the whole mood of the team changed because of that fourth quarter.
And you could see it on his emotion at the end. and how
it wasn't all about beating Brett Bielema.
Speaking of Brett Bielema,
he did not coach very well, I thought, last week, even as one of Brett's biggest defenders. I gotta say, that was not good.
Are you gonna defend his when's the last time he's had a winning record since Wisconsin? I mean a winning as a team, as a career.
I don't want to delve into Brett Bielema because we don't have enough time.
I just want to make sure because you're a big fan of his. I said
he didn't do very well last week.
I like hearing that.
All right.
But the Badgers, what they did in the fourth quarter offensively, and they did enough defensively to make stops, it gave them a chance to think, instead of worrying about what the program's going to be, now they can worry about Ohio State this week.
Exactly.
That's what happened.
And what's going to happen tomorrow night? Are you going to be charging the field, tearing down the goalpost after a huge win over number 3 Ohio State?
Well, first of all, I don't know if I can get down there to get that. But I really do think they're going to play them well. But Ohio State's got so much talent.
Right.
And I just don't think – I do think that quarterback is, for Wisconsin, is much – he showed some stuff in that fourth quarter, and I think he's going to be a really good quarterback for him. And I think he might be better than Ohio State's freshman. But he doesn't have the same guys around him,
right?
Offensive line or at the receiver position.
Packers and the Vikes on Sunday. Packers again. Boy, it was very similar to the Vegas game in a sense, where it was kind of there for the taking, and they just didn't take it. Two games that they should have won, and all of a sudden you're thinking they're 4-2 and feeling pretty good.
Who said they should have won?
I said
everybody
they should,
else. I know everybody else is saying they should have.
I said they should have won.
I mean, I don't disagree with you. I'm just saying, like,
they should have won. They should have won those games.
But they're not a good
games.
Team, though.
Well, those were two teams that aren't good teams that are playing. That's probably
correct.
The biggest reason I would say that. The Raiders are not good. The Broncos are not good. The Packers,
and Green Bay are not good.
Well, the Packers. And also, one thing before we talk about the Vikings specifically, we keep hearing, well, Aaron Jones should get the ball more. What did Mike McCarthy always say? Availability. The guy's not available. I mean, I'm starting to get a little frustrated about this. He played a little bit, but now again this week, yesterday I saw on the report, not practicing. I mean, come on, get on the field.
He's, I don't know how he gets in their contract.
I don't know either. I've got to the point, I've always been a supporter, but it's like, I mean, man, you got to have that guy. Either he's got to be on the field or you got to find somebody who's going to be on the field. Because I remember during the off during the training camp when Taylor was, you know, holding out for the Colts, and there was rumors that maybe Green Bay made an offer, saying, "Well, why would you want to do that?" Now all of a sudden, I'm thinking, "Well, I mean,
why didn't we do it?
I mean, because we need a guy that's going to take the ball 20 times a game, and of course, you have to have the coach give it to him 20 times a game as well." But it just it's getting frustrating that every week we're hearing, "Well, he may play, may not play," and then it's causing so many issues within the Packer offense, I think.
Well, it's bigger issues is because they don't have anybody else.
I know.
They don't have, you know, so his ability when he's on the field is trumping all the other stuff. Right,
both as a rusher and a receiver and being able to open things up. Yeah.
Because right now, when they're putting those guys in position that they can't, it's like watching a guy like high school football where when you don't have any weapons and you're just throwing and you're hoping that you get whatever you get. So if the play is designed to catch a ball at 8 yards, you're hoping to get the 8 yards. They're not – players make plays. And right now, Jones is the only one that can make that extra play. Even last week, the receivers – I don't think Love was the issue yet, and I don't – their line, Caleb Walker cannot block anybody.
No.
And the thing that scares me more than anything is that if I can see it sitting at home and they keep on coming back and saying that's the best we have to offer
– that's scary.
That's scary.
Yeah.
Right?
And now this week with Minnesota coming to Lambeau, obviously that was a big win for the Vikes on Monday night against San Francisco. Big. It looks like they're playing better football the last 2 weeks. And all of a sudden, the Packers lose. They're in the cellar and looking very bad.
But again, I don't want to beat a dead horse, but yeah. I didn't expect anything different. Did you? I mean, did you really think they were going to be a playoff team?
I did. I told you. I said the 10 wins.
I know. That's what I'm asking you. That's kind of on you. You're the one that said that they were going to win it.
It's on me. Okay.
I'm just saying, did you think Joe Barry is going to win? No. Do you know what I'm saying?
Joe Barry is a whole different conversation.
Well, no, I'm just saying that overall, did you actually look at him?
I looked at this. Again, you're the one that keeps telling me all this talent on the defensive side.
I said, but what's the common denominator?
Joe Barry.
Okay. I mean, so it's not going to matter. Right?
But don't tell me you were not annoyed on Sunday when the Packers lost that game.
Oh, no, I'm not saying I wasn't annoyed.
I know, so it's like it wasn't where, hey, have some patience here. You were rather forceful in terms of some of the words you were saying about them. So, again.
But we got to play this out.
You're much more settled here on a Friday than you are on a Sunday, I'll tell you that much. Hey, enjoy the game tomorrow night. I'll be looking for you as I sit in my very cozy chair with a blanket over me on a chilly night.
A little cup of coffee.
There you go.
Or a hot chocolate.
Exactly. But have fun, and we'll catch you next week.
Thanks, Chad. You have a great weekend.
We'll take a break. Come right back here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. And welcome back. Chad Holmes with you on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bullfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Time is 9:51. Overcast skies in Wausau. Getting a little bit darker out there right now. Maybe a little bit of precipitation coming. I'm not sure. But it's going to get cooler and cooler as we go throughout the day. In fact, take a look right now. What is the temperature here? Down to 56. We've gone down a few degrees in the past hour. Some possible light rain in the next couple of minutes here at our studio. So I could be a meteorologist. I thought, hey, it looks like it's going to start to rain a little bit. But again, it's going to be a chilly weekend and a chilly start of the work week. Today is October the 27th of 2023. Some famous events have occurred on this date in history. On this date in 1938, 85 years ago today, DuPont announced a name for its new synthetic yarn, nylon. Yep, nylon, invented 85 years ago today by DuPont. On this date in 1997, the Dow Jones Industrial Average tumbled 554 points, forcing the stock market to shut down for the first time since the 1981 assassination attempt on President Reagan. On this date in 2004, the Boston Red Sox won their first World Series since 1918. Yep, beating the St. Louis Cardinals 3-0 in Game 4 of the Fall Classic, completing a four-game sweep. On this date in 2004, a theater in Hamburg, Germany began offering live commercials for anything from soap to beer to kitchen appliances performed by actors before and after performances. On this date in 2007, officials put online a $16 billion pixel image of Leonardo da Vinci's Last Supper. The high resolution allowed experts to examine details of the 15th century wall painting that they otherwise could not, including traces of drawings Leonardo put down before painting. On this date in 2014, Walmart said it was sorry for labeling women's plus-size Halloween costumes as fat girl costumes on its website. Yeah, I mean, that is just plain stupidity. On this date in 2018, tragedy. A gunman shot and killed 11 people, injured 6 at the Tree of Life Synagogue in Pittsburgh. Again, just incredible that we see these horrible, horrible tragedies involving gun violence continue in this country. Again, that was 5 years ago today, the Tree of Life Synagogue killings in Pittsburgh. On this date, in 2020, a record 69.5 million Americans had already voted a week before Election Day. And 1 year ago today, not a happy day, because on this date in 2022, Elon Musk officially took control of Twitter, now known as X, after finalizing a $44 billion deal to buy the social media network. So those are a few of the famous events that occurred on this date in history. Looking at some famous folks who are celebrating birthdays today, John Cleese, one of the co-founders of Monty Python, just an incredibly talented comedic actor, John Cleese turning 84 years old today. Author Fran Lebowitz turning 73. One of the ex-wives of Donald Trump, Marla Maples. Marla Maples also was an actress and a model, was a Dancing with the Stars contestant. Marla Maples turning 60 years old today. Kelly Osbourne, the daughter of Ozzy Osbourne, one of the stars of the Osbournes in the day, the reality show. Kelly Osbourne turning 39 years old today. And Troy Gentile played Barry in the Goldbergs, turning 30 years old today. And if you out there celebrating your birthday today, happy birthday to you from all of us at Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. Some special events being celebrated or acknowledged today. It is American Beer Day. I don't drink beer.
Me neither.
Good. I was going to ask you, because have you ever drank beer? Have you ever even sipped a beer?
I tried it once. I spit it back out immediately.
I've tried it twice, in fact. I mean, that's people say, you got to be kidding me. That I'm 52 years old.
Yeah, I'm more of an ale and margarita guy. I don't drink beer.
But I had two times I've had beer. One time, and I shouldn't admit it on the air, but back in the day when I was in high school, I went to Everest. And one time the Everest football team was playing up in Rhinelander. And after the game, there was a bit of a get-together in the woods, and there was some beer involved. And I took a sip, and it was awful. So I didn't have any more beer.
Yeah.
And then once, when I was working in radio in Stevens Point, we had what was called these backyard barbecues, where one of us from the station would go over and have a backyard barbecue. Our sponsor was a beer company. And one of these backyard barbecues. I haven't had any beer in many years. So I thought maybe I was missing out on something. So I took a sip of this beer. It was awful. So again, it's like twice. Again, just like you, just had bad reactions, so spit it out, and I've been very happy avoiding beer. But for those of you,
imagine with coffee too.
Yeah, I'm not a coffee drinker either. But for those of you out there who enjoy a good beer, it is American Beer Day, so enjoy that. It is also Bandana Day. It is Breadstick Day. It is Navy Day. It is also Frankenstein Day. So Frankenstein Friday, in fact. So if you're maybe you get dressed up as Frankenstein for Halloween.
And don't forget that Frankenstein is the name of the scientist. It's not the name of the monster.
That is right.
People get that confused.
You're right. Exactly right. Dr. Frankenstein, right?
So Frankenstein's monster.
Exactly right. It is Boxer Shorts Day. It's also Cranky Coworkers Day. I'm trying not to be cranky here for Ian today. It is Potato Day and World Occupational Therapy Day. And let's find out what our number for the day is today. Our number for the day is 46. And I don't think you'll get this one.
No, I don't think so.
46 is the percentage of healthcare workers who reported feeling burned out often or very often in 2022 compared to just 32% in 2018. Well, that's going to wrap it up. Coming up from 10 till noon, As Goes Wisconsin. Have yourselves a great weekend. Ian, have yourself a great weekend. And we will be back with you Monday morning starting at 8. Chad Holmes Show, Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230.